Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, today we reach the conclusion of our Only One You series, the one that we began with this children's book back about 5 weeks ago. And we've sort of plowed our way through the book and through the scriptures and been talking about sanctification for these weeks. So I want to start our conversation off this morning with a question, something to get us thinking, something to get us working. It's actually several questions. And the first springs from what we talked about last week. How do you be this morning? How do you be? Do you be okay? Yes? Nod? Everybody sleeping? We be sleeping? Okay. Are you feeling comfortable in your own skin? Are you feeling at home? Because that's great good news. That's great good news to your pastor. Brené Brown, who is a contemporary sort of therapist, writer, fascinating woman, very, very bright, says this: courage starts with showing up and letting yourself be seen. Courage starts with showing up and letting yourself be seen. So I want to ask you, have you come bravely connected with your true self on display this morning? Is that what we see in you? I pray that it would be. That true self that reflects the presence of Jesus and reveals a real human being. Being. Or did that fear rise up? Did you come still masked in that false self, the one the world has fashioned for you, the one that exposes a human doing? Is that the one that you came here as this morning? I hope not. If that's the one you've adopted in hopes that it might gain you some acceptance and protect you from the potential of rejection, you don't need that anymore. And you certainly don't need it here. The one that kind of has been fashioned to hold you back from that nagging sense of not being good enough, that painful experience of unworthiness. If you brought that self with you this morning, put it down. Let it go. Put that true self out there, that beautiful self, the one that looks like Christ, the one that acts like Christ. Who do you be? Who do you be? Not just how. Who do you be this morning? The answer matters. The answer matters a lot, but the truth underneath it matters even more. And here it is. Here it is. Here's the whole sermon, as a matter of fact. And you already know it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's the truth of who we are. We are the beloved of Jesus, and we learn it. We learn it right here as we walk with him. Now, we've made this journey toward sanctification, this journey toward holiness, if you will, practical lived-in holiness. We've made it together, and we've explored the process, moving through beginning. That was our first Sunday. And from that beginning, we went into believing. That was the next step. And finally, last week, into being, how we be, how we show up. Today, all of this takes time, by the way. Today we grasp the fourth B out of those. It's the fruit of all this other endeavor. And it does, like I said, it takes time. Just let this sink in for a second. 147 years. Delays are possible. Hang in there. Hang in there. It's sublimely appropriate that we would be on this topic this morning, that we'd find ourselves engaged in this discussion since it's Father's Day. What a great day to talk about belonging, the fourth B, belonging. And since there's only one you, we've talked about that, it can be lonely out there, can't it? Implicit within the design of our uniqueness is the potential for something of a relationship vacuum. If I'm being me and you're being you, where do we meet? How do we come together? How does that work? And that's what we want to talk about today. Because all too often, I think we get stuck in our own selves. We become lonely. So what's it mean to belong? What does that mean at a deep soul level? What is belonging? Start with this. This is something that came to me this week as I looked at it. I want you to think about this, right? Notice that the word belonging wraps itself around another independent word. The word in the center is long, as in too long, as in longing, which suggests a deep and an unfulfilled desire. So linguistically and practically, the be and the ing embrace the longing and create the word. They embrace it and they heal that longing and they satisfy its cry for relationship. I have a friend named Joshua Ludlam. He's a teacher, thinker, mentor, somebody I really appreciate. And he's thought long and hard about belonging. A lot of what I started thinking about, I gained from Joshua. And he defines longing this way: the experience of safety to express one's authentic self to others. Belonging. The experience of safety to express one's authentic self to others. So here's a question. Do you feel like you belong? If so, to whom do you belong? And who belongs to you? Now here's the thing. Let's start here. Let's start at the beginning. See, we may struggle to realize it, but we've belonged since before we be'd. Since before the beginning. Listen again to the psalm. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Celebrate, right? Celebrate. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And here's the kernel. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We belong to the Lord. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are not alone, right? There may be only one you, but you are not alone. You are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name because he has not left us alone. He has not abandoned us. He cares for us. We are the sheep of his pasture. That's going to become important as we look at some scripture in a minute. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Now, the psalmist tells us something really critical here. We were conceived and created to belong. Belong to God and to one another. And our longing is a natural function of our createdness because there is only one you. That's how the Lord created you, unique. Paul tells us in Romans 8, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation waits with eager longing for the revelation of the sons of God, the sense of community. And the writer of 1 John assures us of our belongingness, if you will. He says this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. Children of God. And so we are, he says, reassuring us. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. Beloved, he calls us. We are God's children now. We belong. He also speaks to this process of ongoing sanctification we've been talking about, the growing holiness, the sense of being set aside as a unique individual by the Lord that made us. He says, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Let me repeat that. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. There's the sanctification right there. But even as we read these scriptures, we are assaulted by the world around us, the world that has shaped us. We read these scriptures and the false selves threaten to rise up and create rebellion, that rebellion of isolation. Oh, no, I'm not good enough. Oh, no, I'm not worthy. Oh, no, I'm not this. Oh, no, I'm not that. I need to protect myself. Jonathan Sacks, the chief rabbi of Great Britain, makes it point that the supreme religious challenge is to see God's image in one who is not in our image. Starts to broaden the conversation from us and God to us and everyone else. The supreme religious challenge is to see God's image in one who is not in our image. Boy, do we struggle with that, don't we? In other words, to see that the stranger, the different one, doesn't look like us, sound like us, believe like us, to see that that one is also a child of God. Can we risk exposing our true self among these in safety? Look back at how Jesus answers this question in his bearing and his being, spreading a sense of belonging everywhere he goes. Think about the Gospels. Think about all those stories. We've looked at most of them here over the years together. Roman centurions, Samaritan lepers, Syrophoenician women, slaves, rulers, 12-year-old girls, and powerful men. For Jesus, belonging is not a concept, it's a practice. Barbara Brown Taylor describes his as the divine presence of encounter. Isn't that beautiful? The divine presence of encounter. No one is dismissed from his circle of belonging. We realize that again and again and again every month when we come to this table and we talk about how this table embraces the world and all that's in it. No one is dismissed from his circle of belonging. And just listen to him in his first public address in Luke's gospel as he quotes from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Notice who Jesus addresses here, who he says he came for. In other words, this is what he says, I came so all these outcast folks would know that they belong, that they too are children of God, and that each of theirs is but one of the many faces of God. That's his message. That's his message for you. It's his message for me, and it's his message for the world. And he can't wait to put it out there. That's his first sermon. This is a glimpse of universal wholeness that offers a place of safety and inclusion for all. The Savior himself tells us in John's gospel, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus is exposing the breadth of his ministry, a ministry that embraces all, and a ministry that surrounds the world, and a ministry that engages you and you and you and you and me and holds us all together. One flock, one shepherd. This is a deeply diverse flock with room for all the sheep, no matter how weary or weird. There's even a place for oddballs like you and like me. What a great flock. And the flock is inseparable from the shepherd. He'll have it no other way. Paul tells us in Romans, I have become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today nor what may happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high nor a power from below, nor anything else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us, he says. So how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? You are God's children, holy, beloved, protected. How does that make you feel right here? How does it make you feel right now? I hope it makes you feel so good that you can barely contain yourself. Or do you still feel anxious? Do you still feel like you have to prove yourself? Or are you comfortable that you can be your truest self here in safety? Are you willing to risk opening yourself to belonging here? This sanctification process is hard work, and it takes a lot of time and a deep commitment. And it stretches our believing to the very end. As he has throughout our discussion, James has good advice for us. Let me share it with you again. But be patient, my brothers and sisters, as you wait for the Lord to come. Be patient. Look at the farmer quietly awaiting his precious harvest. See how he has to possess his soul in patience till the land has had the early and late rains. So must you be patient, resting your hearts on the ultimate certainty. There you have it. Resting your hearts on the ultimate certainty. The Lord's coming is very near. My brothers and sisters, if any of you should wander away from the truth and another should turn him back onto the right path, then the latter may be sure that in turning a man back from his wandering course, he has rescued a soul from death, and his loving action will cover a multitude of sins. Father Greg Boyle, who I've been telling stories from throughout this series, has this to say. He says, Scripture reminds us constantly that we are meant not to wait for salvation, but to watch for it today. Heaven, then, is not a promise we await, but a practice we fully engage in. Heaven is this practice of belonging. Belonging to God, belonging to Christ, belonging to one another. That's heaven on earth. And that's our practice. That's how we are to be. So after all this, I'm not going to ask you, how do you do? Instead, I'm going to ask you again, how do you be? How do you be? Do you find yourself here longing this morning? Longing for connection? Longing for a safe place in which to be your true self? Or do you find yourself belonging? I pray it's the latter. I pray that you found a home for your heart in this community, forged by the one that prayed 2,000 years ago that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them, that they may be one, completely one. This, my friends, is belonging. And the true source of all of our belonging is here. It is right here. He's within us. He's among us right now. We all belong here. We all belong here. There may be only one you, but the you that you are is part of the we that Christ has created here. We all belong here. So I want you to look at your neighbor, the neighbor that may be a stranger, but you can recognize him or her because she's got the sticker on. Look at that neighbor and tell him right now, we all belong here. Go ahead, you can do this. We all belong here. We all belong here. I am not alone. We all belong here. Now remember our book that we started about. The Only One You book. Remember the book in the end? I don't know if you can think this far back, but that little fish was named Audrey, and Audrey takes what he learns from his mama and papa during the course of the book, and they're speaking to him, and at the end, he heads out with his friends, to whom he belongs, to find what life offers him. Let us go on that adventure together. Let us be the body of Christ. Let us be the family of faith. Let us belong fearlessly to one another. Let us not fear to expose who we truly are. And let us not fear to embrace one another in that. We all belong here. Amen. Let us take a moment and listen in silence to what the Spirit may be saying to each of us.